twice.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're now live on the Middleman Radio, and this is Al.
And it's Kevin.
And this is Dan.
What's happening? What's happening? Got a nice little headache right now, Playboy.
Little headache? What's going on with you?
Ah, man. Need to get something to eat, man. As soon as we leave here, I'm going to get me something to eat. No.
Didn't the Falcons win today? Shouldn't you be, like, happy? Didn't they win? Like, just like that? Second game they won.
What? You really don't know me, do you?
It was every guy I know was like totally upset yesterday because they was like, you know, nothing went right. Nothing went right for like college football. So I at least thought you'd be happy about the Falcons.
I live here. That does not mean I like anything here.
No, Lord.
Understand that. I'm not a Falcon fan.
You see, I try to get up on the, you know, because I really want to prepare. You're not a Falcon fan.
No, I am not. And make sure your mic stays in.
Yeah. The game I'm waiting on, of course, is the Broncos versus the Colts today. So, waiting on that.
Well, it's all good. I'm waiting on that one, too, but I ain't studying no sports day, man. I want to jump on old Mr. Cruz out there in Texas about this crap he's been saying lately, this dang government shutdown, man. It has officially got on my nerves.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it, man, because a lot of this stuff shouldn't even happen. Shouldn't even be going on, really, to be honest.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends that work for federal government, and you know they were affected, you know, for those 2 weeks. You know, for people, most people in this country, you know, don't have big bank accounts. Most people live from check to check or somewhere close to it, and to just go 2 weeks without pay, you know, I had a friend, you know, calling their mortgage companies and, you know, preparing to make arrangements, and you
right.
know, I do not think that, you know, it was just, I don't think it was the health care was the issue. I think it was a deep-seated, rooted problem, and I just think it just is a reflection of, you know, race relations in this country still have not been addressed properly and still haven't been solved.
I mean, overall, when you think about it, the way that they played with the general public, with the American public, I think it was pretty pathetic because at the end of the day, I mean, it's always funny when you hear people like Rush Limbaugh or some of those talking heads like Sean Hannity, and even some of the ones that support the Democratic Party, they don't understand what it is to go check to check. They don't understand what it is to wonder how you're going to feed your kids. So I'm trying to understand how you out here telling people X, Y, and Z, this is bad for you, blah, 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 blah. Put the numbers
right
out there and let everybody make their own decision. If it's wrong, we need to correct it. If it's right, let's ride on up. But they just carry on so bad.
When the first election happened, and I actually did a forum on healthcare, and it was people in my community, and we sat around and we met people who had children with, you know, cancer, or they had a disease that, you know, the insurance company had deemed, you know, a pre-existing condition, and these people were having to choose between, you know, feeding their kids in their home or keeping their children alive or keeping themselves alive. And I don't think that people, unless you've been through that situation, don't understand how this healthcare program is really going to benefit people like that. And how it really doesn't affect most people that have health care with their job. And, you
right.
know, I can't wait till we have a show to just really lay everything out there about Obamacare and the health care reform program. to show people it's not this big bad wolf that the media is trying to blow it up to be.
Either way, yeah, you know, if it works, it works. If it don't, it don't. Just let it, you know, play out. But they, I mean, this is ridiculous. I'm just like, I'm so through with all the politicians, to be honest with you. I mean, I listened to Nancy Pelosi today. That's that Republican. I mean, I don't want to hear that. That's childish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's get to the point, the root of the issue. Correct this country. Get us some jobs over here. You know what I'm saying? Put people in a better situation than what we are in right now.
Right. To be honest, mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to be going through this and having these conversations within the next year as well, too, because I really don't see any immediate quick change to anything that's going on, because you're always going to have a group that's going to buck the system at a high rate.
Mm-hmm.
And with anything, I mean, you know, you're still going to have those bureaucrats that's going to stand in and stick in together to try to make sure anything that's positive don't happen. So I don't see any change no time soon.
Well, if they don't change, I hope that the American people will stand up. And I'm not talking about the ones that are so concerned, you know, so deeply rooted in racism, you know, because, I mean, that whole take our country back crap, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, no matter what they do, it affects all of us. Rich, poor, well, not the rich, let's take them back. The so-called, quote-unquote, middle class, the ones that are working poor, and the ones that really don't have any money. Those, and we are the ones who mostly get affected.
Right.
And we have to move away from this they and us mentality. We are the government. The government was made for the people, by the people. And when we take ownership of that and we take that back, then we start to take more control of what happens to us in our lives.
True that. But, I mean, other than that, man, you know, we definitely going to have to engage into a conversation of that right there, Jim. But, you know, right now we need to go ahead and let everybody know what we're talking about. We do apologize last week. You know, we had some difficulties. We weren't able to do the show, but this week we are here. We appreciate everybody that was patient with us with this particular show. You know what I'm saying? And we do appreciate everybody that tuned in this past Thursday night for Talk of the Town, man. Our numbers were outrageous.
Yes.
The Underground Railroad, man, we appreciate them guys, man. Y'all make sure y'all go back and check out that entertainment show. Al or Jen, what's going on today? Let them know what it is.
Okay, well, Shonda Rhimes and Olivia Pope have created Nation of Gladiators and record-breaking ratings with ABC's hit TV show Scandal. Women and men are calling themselves gladiators and are glued to ABC on Thursday nights, waiting for Pope and Associates to solve their next problem. However, Scandal has sparked many questions for some people. The show's main love story is between the President of the United States, who happens to be white, and Olivia Pope, an African-American woman. Is this a modern-day Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings story that the public is now embracing? If the president's character was black and his mistress was white, would the show be a hit amongst so many black women? Is this glorifying affairs with married men? And also we want to examine, you know, is this another, you know, is black women's role in television changed that much, you know, in the 21st century? And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So I'm calling all my fellow gladiators out there to come out and, you know, let's talk about this today.
You know, we're missing one of your fellow gladiators tonight. I know good and well he is. He's probably out there in Houston right now mad at us because he ain't able to get through it.
Gladiator Nation.
Oh, my God. I get so tired of y'all on my timeline. When that show come on, I be like, dang, you, Nick, Roland Martin, all my other partners out there, y'all know who y'all are. I ain't finna start right now. Grown people, grown men. Soap opera love.
Because it is good. It is good.
I don't care. That's worse than the people that used to watch Dallas.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, let's go ahead and get into this conversation right here. Al, you want to go ahead and kick everything off because you are a new, how can I call it? Al is almost a gladiator.
Do not put me in there. Do not put me in
there. Oh, don't be ashamed, man. Al. Don't be ashamed.
Look, man. Look, I'm going to tell you like this, man. I watched the show this past Thursday for Jen because she asked me to, because at first I wasn't going to watch it. But she asked me to watch it. And I said, you need to watch the show. You know, we're going to talk about it. So I went ahead and watched the show or whatever. But I don't know what to think about. I mean, it's like a soap opera or whatever, and maybe I caught the wrong side of the spectrum or whatever, because some of the other comments I've seen in the past, in the first season or whatever, was like, you know, it appears that on my timeline on Twitter, all of my followers were watching the show except me.
And yes, you're behind.
Oh.
I mean, we can stay behind. I mean, me personally, I can stay behind. But I just want to really, I really want to get the understanding of this show. You know, the whole gladiator aspect of this, this whole environment that they created with a black powerful woman seeking a powerful white man. I want to get into all that tonight, Jen. You know, I don't understand the dynamics, but I understand the dynamics. You know what I mean? So make this make sense to me tonight. And I know we got some of your gladiators, quote-unquote gladiators, out there listening right now. If you want to get in this conversation, just dial 718-508-9972, press number 1. We will bring you in. But for me, I am not a gladiator at all.
Just well, saying. You would be. You are in your spirit. You just don't know that you are. Okay, well, you know, for those of you that are out there like Kevin who haven't joined the Gladiator Nation, the show is...
I haven't joined either. I'm on the sideline, man.
Oh, God.
The show is, you know, written by Shonda Rhimes. And if you don't know who Shonda Rhimes is, she's an African-American woman. She has also written, Grey's Anatomy. So she's really tearing up, you know, primetime, you know, TV. You know, she has two major shows in the works. On, you know, a major network in primetime, which is a really big deal. And the show is based upon the press secretary and also a crisis management lady who was the crisis management and press secretary for George Bush, the father, not George W., but the father. So the show is based loosely on her life and, you know, the problems in D.C. and also how to, you know, solve problems, and it also shows an affair with the President of the United States.
Okay. Just give us a rundown for, like, myself that don't want that. So you basically gave me a rundown of what the whole premise of the show is. I mean, what is the whole lore and draw to this show, Jen?
I think that for black women, I think we like to root for the underdog. You know, finally we are... I think that we feel, I don't know, I think some women feel that she is smart, she is sophisticated, she's well-dressed, she's powerful, and the most powerful man in the woman desires her. And I think a lot of women, especially African-American women, like to put themselves in their place and live vicariously through Olivia Pope. They want to be loved, desired, and wanted by a powerful man, and, you know, have it all too, have the career and the friends and all that, and I think that they get that from, you know, the show.
Well, that's the part that I want to, that's somewhat intriguing to me, the fact that you have this with a powerful black woman and a powerful white man. You know, it's not the race part of it so much, but it is, you know, from my perception. And what I'm looking at, you know, it plays a big part into that whole relationship aspect of it. Now, like you said, some women want to play this out, or they, I don't want to say they want to emulate it, but isn't that kind of dangerous?
No, a lot of people, I've had a conversation with a friend this week, and a lot of people, you know, struggle with this show, because Olivia Pope, you know, the great part of it is that she emulates Judy Smith, and that's actually the character who, you know, has a career as a crisis management and worked for George Bush. That part of it is great. However, she's having an affair, and it's like, are we glorifying the whore? I mean, I'm not calling Olivia Pope whore. I love her character.
No, call it,
but
call
it's
it,
the
call
nitty-gritty
it,
of
it.
She
is
a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Call it what it is, Jean.
There you go.
Call it what it is. I mean, the premise
mistress.
Of the show is a black harlot, which she's very powerful.
No, don't call her a harlot.
I mean, she's jumping from man to man. I know that much about the show. I mean, I could
read
my timeline and tell you what's going on.
She's had a couple of characters. But, you know, is that so different? You know, and that's another conversation that we wanted to get in. You know, a lot of times we group ourselves into, well, not we, but people group black women on television into categories. You know, we're either a mammy, you know, a motherly type, or we're the Jezebel, or we are, you know, snapping our fingers and rolling our neck and sassy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think that Olivia Pope is a Jezebel dressed up in 21st century clothes, and because she has this powerful job, you know, it's forgotten. But, you know, is it a reality? Are you know, we having affairs with, you know, is having affairs, public affairs?
I mean, look at it. Look at the word mistress. And I looked up the word mistress on WebsterDictionary.com. Okay, the word mistress is a noun, of course. And the definition of it is an adulterous woman. So with that being said, I mean, we have several different presidents that had mistresses on the side.
Uh-huh.
You know, of course, one of the most famous ones is, of course, Marilyn Monroe was John F. Kennedy. And
right.
with that whole situation. But this particular show, of course, the mistress is an African-American woman with a power couple who is Caucasian.
But yet again, Al, you know, as far as the emulation part of it.
Yeah.
Just look at how in society now you have so many black women that are of power. They do have powerful positions. And their
right.
counterparts are not us. They're not black men. So therefore, when you look at a show like this, does this truly, is it art imitating life? But not on that level, I'm just saying, is it art imitating life?
I mean, you got to think about it. Look at, like the conversation we had on the previous show about when Beyonce cut his hair. Next thing you know, the next day, thousands of women cut their hair. So, of course, you know, whatever you are impersonating to, you're going to do what? You're going to try to emulate it. Just like you have a lot of females who, you know, when Nicki Minaj came out with the Black Barbie thing, almost everybody on my timeline at Twitter, female-wise, changed their name to Barbie something. You know, so, I mean, I think it does. Well, of course, we know it happened.
Right.
We know it. Do we think it's going to increase because of this show? Probably. I don't know. You know, it could happen. But
it leads to one to think about even just the perception of you know, television now. Just looking at how television and movies are portraying black women. And also
exactly.
in movies. When you look at movies, and you know, I'm not one that really likes these particular type shows. I mean, there's certain shows I will watch. I don't mind a drama. You know what I'm saying? I can't even front. When I was a kid, I remember watching General Hospital with my mom. You know what I'm saying? But the characters were what they were. But in this one, like I said, just the emulation and the possibility of it being so close to reality, you know, I mean, I feel like it's somewhat dangerous. But, I mean, as I was stating, with the movies, you know, lately you've been seeing a lot of subliminal messages of black women dating
right.
white men or outside of their race. Now, one is to ask, you know, is it fair for them to be able to do that? Because, you know, the main thing that they say is that black men have the most opportunity to date outside of their race. They can date and do this. They can date and do that. But we can't do this or that. So
mm-hmm.
when you have a powerful black woman that has the ability to get any man she wants, what did she choose?
She got a whole parade of support behind that. That's what happened.
On the show this season, they briefly addressed it with her father, because her father calls her out on the show, and he says to her, you know, you could have been anything. Anything is in town. You could have chosen anything. You could have chosen, you know, hey, you could have chosen anything. You chose to be the whore. You chose to be the first lady, which you will never be, because you always have to work twice as hard to get at least half. That's the same thing that they said on the show. But I think it gives a lot of women, they like it. They like that, you know, she's desired and loved by this man. But, you know, a lot of people stress that she is the mistress. She's not the main lady. And it's like, why in the 21st century aren't we yet the main lady? Is it okay?
No, it ain't okay. You know what I'm saying? Because, one, you can find your powerful man somewhere else. You don't have to go. I mean, from the dough. From the dough. He's
right.
President. He's married. You see his wife. She everywhere. But you chose to go with the married guy. You know, you chose to live like this great life, but you're sinning every day because you are being adulterous with a married man, like the most powerful man, like the most visible guy. So if you're, I mean, anything could happen to her just as it could happen to him.
True.
She can get assassinated off top because of that.
Very true.
You know?
Hey, we do have a caller. We got a caller online. We're going to go ahead and bring in the caller. Kat from Atlanta, you're live with the middleman. What are your comments? Kat? Hello? You can take your phone off mute.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm checking out right now.
Oh, it's okay. Thank you.
Okay. I don't have a comment right this moment.
Oh, you don't have a comment? Oh, sorry then. Okay. All right. All right, for all the callers that would like to have a comment, make sure you press the number one. If Kat, you can just press number one. It'll take you out of our queue. You don't have to hang up. But for anybody that has a comment, press the number one. We will bring you in. Our call screeners will just ask for your name and where you're calling from. Just let them know your name and where you're calling from, and we will bring you in into this conversation. But, Al, the dynamics is still crazy. As you say, he could,
yep,
she could be assassinated, whatever the case may be. But go ahead, Jen. Go ahead.
I also think, you know, to bring us that, we, you know, a lot of times we talk on the show about young girls and self-image. And I just think that sometimes, like, they skim the line with this show. You know, I love the show. I think it gives young girls a powerful image of, you know, like
really?
I said, I think the Pope character is classy. I think powerful.
What's classy
and
about
strong
her with two men,
and
man
vulnerable.
What's classy about her sleeping with two men, Jen?
Cricket. Anyway,
I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm trying to say classy. I'm trying to figure this one out.
I can't roll with that as far as, you know, her being classy, you know, with what she does in her personal life, and even trying to hide the fact in the public of what she do in general too. I mean, like you're being deceitful because for one. And that particular realm of that position that she had, of course, from what I saw on the show that I saw this past week or whatever, a lot of people know her. So she is in front of, you know, it's not like she's just in the office all day and don't nobody know who she is. But in this particular role, I mean, a lot of people know her. But I don't see anything classy about it. I mean, like, you got even the president's wife knows about it, and he hates the fact that her husband has this woman, but she has to stand up in front of television every day to, you know, and smile to make sure the public is, you know, doesn't think that that's really what's going on.
But how many
do you
real
think
women?
That this character, do you think that this character promotes a negative image for girls because she sleeps with two men,
yeah,
at the same time? Because
do you think
she's an inappropriate
day
hero?
She is, and I feel like even a character that's a man that does that is an inappropriate sight for a young man, too, because sometimes that's not appropriate for, you know, television, the consumption of what we see. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? The thing about it is they push the bar on this show. They push the bar on a lot of these shows that we have now.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, even, and I know this is a little bit beside the subject, but when you look at what's going on with this Grand Theft Auto video game, I know video games are somewhat not, you know, it's not that serious, but you have people that's trying to emulate that. Now, let's look at Scandal. Let's say we already know men and women cheat. You
yep.
know what I'm saying? But this right here, it legitimizes the whole aspect of what it is to cheat on that level.
Right.
There you know what I'm saying? That's
the difference. That's the difference. And then plus, you also aiming at the point of that's a married man that you're cheating
mm-hmm.
with. Now, it's a totally different ball game as far as like if nobody was married, then you know you could take the marriage equation out of it. But cheating is still cheating. Either way it goes, but still.
Well, he's the president of the United States
man.
In the show. He can't just get a divorce. you know, because he's fallen in love with this woman.
Well, first and foremost, before he was president, he was married to his wife. So if you eliminate him being a president or whatever, first and foremost, he's a married man. And then the show is still, you know, glorifying a woman, you know, having relations with a married man. Sneaking having a relationship with a married man. Like, that's, like, you know, that's different. That's what is, you know, that's what the show's about, really, to be honest. That's it. That's the show.
The big elephant in the room is, okay, so we deem that you guys think that she's the anti-hero. So let me ask you this. The show is a hit among black women. Black women love this show. But
why
do you think it fits? Because we want to be, we love this show because we root for us. And, you know, Olivia Pope,
I love Kerry Washington too, Jen. I fell in love with the movie. I think I love my wife. But the thing about it is, Jen, you know, what if this was a real life situation as far as those black women who love this show having another female cheating with their husband? They ain't going to be caring about...
Okay, throw this in the mix, too. Let me ask you this. Do you think that a show would be so popular if they didn't have Kerry Washington, if Olivia Pope wasn't Kerry Washington, say she was Jennifer Aniston, and we had Denzel Washington as the president? Would we like this show that much? Are we hypocrites?
Yeah, the show would not be on Prime TV. I guarantee that. Because of the outrage that it would be from the Caucasian community. I guarantee that. This show reminds me of the Halle Berry syndrome when Halle Berry won that Oscar for being, you know,
Monster Ball.
Monster Ball.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what that reminds me of. Kerry Washington is going to get her award for this particular show.
Well, hey, we got a comment here from one of our callers calling out of Atlanta. This is Prince. What's going on, Prince?
Hey, how you doing?
What's everything? Everything's good. My brother, what's good?
I got a comment I want to make. You know, in determining, you know what I'm saying, basically the validity of any show, you have to sometimes wonder what the intent of what the writer was. You know, so my question to y'all is, what do you think the actual intent of what Shonda Rhimes, when she put this show out?
My honest opinion on the intent is to have black women go outside of their race and chase powerful men.
You know, perhaps, you know, I offer this suggestion. Perhaps it's just a love story.
Okay.
Know? And maybe it mirrors or even suggests certain things, but maybe it's just a flat-out love story of duality of maybe loving, you know what I'm saying, two individuals. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Or having a conflict, you know what I'm saying, with two individuals. You know, sometimes I think we read into too much. And, you know what I'm saying, it's a given that, you know what I'm saying, this show kind of reflects and mirrors certain things that go on in the political process and,
right.
You know, between black women, you know what I'm saying, and in society and what have you. But I think it's just a love story. I mean, as simple as that.
Even though, Prince, it may be a love story, but what do you think the dynamics is with a lot of young black girls? And we have parties out here in Atlanta where you have scandal parties, gladiator parties, where women are glorifying and cheering on for her. I mean, what type of effect does that have on the mind when you're... I mean, if we all cheer for the bad guy, we're going to try to emulate that bad guy sooner or later, even though it's just a quote-unquote story. What do you think about that?
I think you're absolutely correct about that, but I think it's a residual effect. It's not necessarily the prime intent that she had, you know what I'm saying, when writing these particular shows. I think it's just a residual effect. You know, okay, say, for instance, Jen... Do you think that it's possible, you know what I'm saying, for a woman, you know what I'm saying, to be in love, not only have feelings, but be in love for two men at the same time?
Yes, I think that it is possible. I really do. So I think the show really, you know, mirrors real life for a lot of people. You know, sometimes, Kevin, you know, Al want to make everything so black and white. You know, this is how it is, meat and potatoes, this, this, and that. And then the dynamics of real life aren't that simple. Sometimes you do fall in love with someone that's married. Sometimes you do, you know, have affairs. You know, these things happen. They've been happening since the beginning of time. So, you know, are we going to crucify Shonda Rhimes for, you know, reflecting reality?
Well, I mean, she can reflect reality. She can reflect reality, but at the same time, man, just the popularity of it and the positionings of these characters, that's what I'm saying. That's the part that plays more into the aspect of people thinking and the mental aspect of this show.
There you go. Yep.
I mean,
I got a comment from the chat. I'm going to cut you off, Carla, but we got a comment that wanted to answer your question as well. He said the reason for the show is popular because of the Negroed Wench Syndrome, and that is the love of white daddy and the favor to the black women. That's the appeal of the show.
Oh, my goodness. I have to disagree. We don't want white daddy. You know, I don't think it's the cup, but I think Shonda Rhimes has a very good, you know, has a very good way of being translucent with race. You know, like if you watch Grey's Anatomy, like her characters don't have a race, and I think she does a very good job with that.
Well, I've never seen Grey's Anatomy, so I can't even say anything about it yet. So, but
can I pose this question here? Okay, since this seems to be a theme within her shows of having black women being an interracial couple, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I've never seen Grey's Anatomy. I've barely seen, you know what I'm saying, Scandal. I think I've watched, like, you know what I'm saying, maybe two or three episodes on BET when they were showing a marathon. But,
you
know, from watching but from watching it, you know what I'm saying, this seems to be, you know what I'm saying, what I glean, you know what I'm saying, from watching the show. You have a black woman who's conflicted in her feelings, and it just so happens that, you know what I'm saying, she's in love with or she's had an affair with, you know what I'm saying, a married man who just happens to be the president of the United States. And I think this is very common, especially, you know what I'm saying, within society as a general, that you have women who have conflicted feelings. You know what I mean? So I don't try to read anything into it more than that. Or, you know what I'm saying, dealing with race or anything like that. Matter of fact, I'm reading a book called Why Black Men, you know what I'm saying, Love White Women by Ray John Prasad.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? And some of the same things, you know what I'm saying, that he speaks about inside that book, you know what I'm saying, seems to be, you know what I'm saying, what y'all are talking about in this conversation.
All right. Well, we shall appreciate that comment, man. We'll definitely get back to you if
you
do have another comment. Press your number one on your phone. And we'll definitely get back to you. We have another caller that wants to comment on the show live. This is
Kaniva Man. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on? It's Covina Man out
Covina
here,
man.
Los Angeles.
What's going on,
big
brother?
Doing? Hey, it's all good, man. I wanted to comment on this. You know, I think the appeal of the show, like I had said in the chat room here, it's love of white daddy as savior. It's bred into black women since the era of slavery. And it's like wherever you have this white devil to go around and conquers, you know, people, you know, he creates certain members in the community to aid and abet his white supremacy. And one of the main tools is the so-called Uncle Tom. Everybody's used to that as the black male version, but the black female version is the Negro bedwitch, or you know the ghetto gagger, whatever it is, modern term. That's one of the tools that the white supremacists use to control and alter the destiny of the conquered people. So we, being the conquered people of this white supremacy nation, they put on in their media, they put on, you know, all through society to promote this aspect of we white people are still on top, even though Obama's in the White House. We want y'all to really know who's running this.
Who's running? Right.
So they put it in an artistic imagery.
When we put black women characters in regular roles, when we put us in, you know, roles that aren't mammies or aren't whores or aren't this, people don't watch those shows. Why? We ourselves don't watch those shows.
That's because of what was ingrained as far as like with watching Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. People watch it because of the drama. You know, but people forget that the Cosby Show is like one of the
leading talk shows ever. And then you got to come behind it, another good black show with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So how come we can't have those shows again? You know, without the goofy comedy. You know, just realistic comedy, but without the goofy comedy. Because I don't watch none of Tyler Perry shows. None of them.
Well, I just want to ask stupid. I want to ask kind of a man a question. Do you feel like these particular type shows, man, are they dangerous to the psyche of our people?
I think that because our people's psyche is already screwed up from another, so many other factors, that this is a way of milking it. This is a way of mm-hmm. making money off of people's ignorance. So they give you Love and Hip Hop. They give you, right. Bad Girls. They give you all this stuff. This is what, because we have so many women out here who don't know who the baby daddy is, right? So that's the mentality of the society. So they know, we can make bucks by selling stupidity to ignorant people. It's profitable.
Right.
If it wasn't profitable, they wouldn't do it. And I think it's programming. It's programming as well. You know, there's a way to program white black women to destroy the black society from inside out. You know, they use welfare, they use abortion, they use all the other tactics that they use to keep the society where it is, keep it down. But that's just, that's just my comment, man. That's where that's coming from.
We appreciate your comment. And we're going to keep checking you out over on the web chat. For all those that don't have a profile, you can go to blogtalkradio.com, get a profile. You can get in with our man right there. We appreciate you for your call, my brother. He always supporting, man. And he brought in some interesting points, man. Is it like Jean Love, like she just said, are we making it that black and white? Is that the issue right there?
I think that, I think that it has a deeper root. I think it has to be addressed about our characters on television. I like the show. I really am into it. But I do think that it has to be addressed that when we're on television, when we're portrayed on television, we aren't cast as a wife. Why? Why couldn't his wife be a black character as well? Why couldn't his wife, or does it matter? You know, that's another question. You know, are we reading too much into it?
Right.
You know, does it matter? But I just think that especially for so many, especially African-American girls, because we have so few positive images on television. When
right.
we do get one, you know, that girls want to see, it's the Love Hip-Hop girls or this and that. And so when we capitalize on a moment, you know, Olivia Pope is smart, you know, she's college educated. Don't want to tell our girls that just because you're this doesn't mean you have to be a man's whore. I don't know if it's that deep, but also I think the conversation has to be had with girls. You know, you don't have to open your legs to rise up. And I think that sometimes, or solve your problems through your sexuality. And I think a lot of times we're over-sexualized on television, and we're over-sexualized in real life as well. And I think it opens an interesting conversation.
Well, I mean, it does, Jen. I mean, to me, I still feel like it's the feminism, and, you know, if you ever listen to this show, you can always go back to our archives about feminism. We had a show about feminism. I still believe that, once you look at everything for truly what it is, we don't have, a lot of black men don't have power. And I think that it's like Kaneva Man was saying, you know, it pushes our women towards that point where they're looking at it like, okay, these guys over here got power, and this is what we need to go after. And the reason why, as you even titled the show, Gladiators or Hypocritical or Hypocrites, I think it's hypocritical from the aspect of, like Al even asked the question, or posed the question, why can't we have more shows about positive black families? Or positive, or just even about black people.
Because
in general,
we don't watch those shows. We want to complain. We talk with all the time, but we don't support those shows.
I'm just saying, we watch the Cosby Show. We haven't had anything like that since.
Okay,
I mean,
the 21st century. They
I'm just
fail.
Saying, though. What's the last positive, just real watch network-supported type show? Because even with those shows getting on the internet, I mean, not just the internet, but the on those networks, the network will pull the plug in a year or less than a year on those shows. 6 months, they're gone. Why?
Because they're not being watched. If they were being watched and they were producing ratings, then people would watch them.
Hey, they love to say women lie, men lie, but numbers don't lie. I really believe numbers lie, Jim, because I know that we watch certain shows. I know that we support certain aspects, just even with the Bounce television that's out there right now. You have a lot of people supporting that channel, but if you let them tell it, they'll be like, well, ain't nobody really supporting that station. That's why it's going to go under. And you begin to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I truly feel like this show is a hypocritical show. I really do.
I'm still going to like the show.
Doing it like that. I'm just saying. Kniva Man said the Bernie Mac show, my wife and kids, those were a few, but they didn't last as long as they should have.
Right. That's true.
Maybe they didn't have the ratings. I didn't even watch the Bernie Mac show until it came on, like, reruns. Yes, I didn't watch it when it was on television.
Bernie Mac said it himself. You know, of course, there was a lot of things he could not do on his show. You know, they wouldn't allow it. So, of course, you know, some of us who know Bernie Mac from movies, we think that Bernie Mac going to be Bernie Mac from movies. Now, he did, you know, exemplify some of the things from his own personality on the show, but it wasn't that hardcore Bernie Mac that we were looking for. So maybe that has something to do with the racing, but of course, you know, they shaped him to what they would allow him to do on TV.
And you know it's all about exploitation. You know it's about exploitation. Every time you look, if y'all even recall this, remember Fox build up their whole viewership from us with shows that we like, coming back all the way back from Living Color. You know what I'm saying? Every time you look around, CW did it. Now ABC is doing the same thing. As soon as this show get them to a certain viewership, and they're going to switch it and pull it out and put something else in. Let's see how long this show really lasts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in that. Just saying.
Well, you know, another thing that I wanted to explore a little bit more is, you know, the other woman. I think that with, you know, like Al said before, Nicki Minaj, ever since, I guess, you know, even way back to Lil' Kim, a lot of rappers glorify being, you know, the other woman, like, you know, sneaking around with somebody else's man. And does this give those women a new hero? You know, is it okay to be, you know, I know girls that want to be they don't want to be the main girl. They don't want the problems of the main girl. They want to be the other woman.
That's the problem right there. You know what I'm saying? Because that goes back to the whole statement of there ain't no men out here. There's
but at the same time, being the other woman, it goes back to you chasing the same man also.
Exactly. There you go. You're chasing the same type of dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are plenty of men out here. You know, just it probably just because of the town that you live in got 100 people in and 99 of them are married, and then the other guy, you don't want him because he's 5'3", and he got small feet. That's why you don't want him. You know what I'm saying? But you got to understand, I mean, that's the problem right there. Like, this show, to me, is making it okay and saying that it is okay to be the other woman. Why you got to be the other woman? You can't be the other woman when you're 35 going on 40.
Well, and even from
He treats her as if she's the main woman. He wants her to be his wife, but you know his presidency complicates that.
Right, and even after his presidency, he is not going to leave his wife for her.
Yes, he will.
Do you know how much money and red tape is going to be involved in that? he ain't going to let that happen. Tyler Perry put a perfect example in that movie, A Family That Prays. He did not leave his wife for that woman, and she knew he was going to leave him.
Yep.
He did not leave him. It's because of the money and the red tape. It just wasn't going to work.
That pops another question. You know, why are we so acceptant to be Sally Hemings? You know, I think everyone's familiar with the Sally Hemings Thomas Jefferson story. Sally Hemings accepted her role as the secondary. She was his support
Thomas Jefferson
when the doors were closed.
That right there was Thomas Jefferson's fault because, one, you know, you got to think about where we were at that time in life. You know, we ain't had too much say-so or whatever in that time in life, and she probably didn't want to get whipped or beat down. So, of course, she did what she had to do to stay alive. That's my perception of what I think what really happened, to be honest.
Well, how many men still do the same thing today? How many men choose a woman for self-image, and then they might have another woman that they care for or lust for behind the door?
We know that happens. Yes, we do.
Yeah, being real.
I'm not saying that. Right. I'm not saying that's okay either. Wrong is wrong on both sides of the ball game. You know what I'm saying?
I think women do it as well. I think we have a lot of women have a Christmas party man, and then they might have, you know, the guy down from down the way that puts it down. A lot of women have that.
But there was a time where our women didn't do that period. Not just black women, but women. Women were not in this position to sit up here and run and sleep with every doggone dude they want to sleep. Now it's the end thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm a player also. I can get out here and get mine. I'm getting mine. Or I'm not gonna be serious with him because he ain't nothing. He just a little side piece. These are the type things you hear from women nowadays. You know what I'm saying? And I think all the things that they see, all the things that they ingest in with our society now, this is what we get. And I mean, you know, they used to say you could tell about a society through the songs that they sing. Well, not only that, you can look at the television and see what we see. And it's like they say, tell our vision, tell your vision a lie. And I mean, right. They just lying to us constantly, portraying this crap, other crap. And I know the way I'm sounding, people are like, man, just turn your TV off. I don't watch it. I mean, I could look at my timeline and see all this. Or either just turn on the radio. They talk. I mean, like I said, see, they have parties. How do you have a party for a show and cheer on this woman? How?
I mean,
because
I don't see guys.
It's pretend, and it's a good show.
Pretend.
Well, real guy.
Okay.
Well, it's wrong. It's wrong on both sides of the spectrum, man and woman. Because, like I said earlier, when you get 35, 40 years old, your time limit is running out. You know what I'm saying? Especially trying to either get married or have, well, I mean, maybe we can have kids as long as we can squirt out. But anyway, your time limit is running slim. You ain't gonna be able to chase those tight bodies or those fit men as long, you know, within your age range. Because eventually you're gonna get old and you're gonna be looked at as an old grandmama. Then.
Well, I agree with that to a point. I think that especially women in general, whether you're, you know, black, a lot of, like, in the 21st century, we have a lot of rules, and we have a lot of fantasy that goes on, and I think that television helps, you know, perpetrate those fantasies where we have, I want the guy to look this way, I want the guy to be 6 foot tall, I want this, I want that, I want him to be powerful, I want this and that, and because we watch these shows, and we do visualize ourselves as Olivia Pope, and so we find ourselves alone when, reality doesn't match the fantasy, instead of making, you know, what we want match reality. And I think a lot of women struggle with that. And I think that's why you see the parties and the people wanting to go to scandal parties is because people want to be Olivia Pope.
Well, I haven't met anybody that want to be Olivia Pope yet, but, I mean, I want to bring up as far as, you know, it's not just women, you know, having this idealistic version of or a perfect woman. Guys do it too. You know, I'm going to admit guys do it too. You know, we want our women to look a certain way, and if she don't look super moderate or if she don't look as good as my mama when my mama was young or whatever, or she don't fit the image of what I was brought up in, I don't want her.
Yeah.
Guys do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So society has tainted our vision and our, you know, view of how we see people in general, yes. But you do like what you like, but I'm not saying that to be Olivia Pope. Don't be Olivia Pope. Be whatever your name is and be whatever your family raised you as.
Man, I'm just saying, though, I think a lot of black men have a problem with this show because it's a white man and a black woman. I ain't going to sugarcoat nothing.
Most definitely. You already know that. You already know because, for one, if it was a
y'all
show
so hypocritical, but
white,
if it was a black guy with a white girl, y'all would be okay.
That's what I was about to say too. Y'all would be sitting in the same hot seat we in. Y'all would be on the same, because when Jungle Fever came out with Wesley Snipes and that light skinned lady or whatever, and he cheated on his wife with the white woman, it was an uproar about that. Spike Lee had the same situation. So I mean, we were in the hot seat then. Now it's y'all turn, the table's a turn. Here we go.
Oh, nobody
takes. But you know what? Like, let's not talk about. Does it bother black men to see, you know, black women with white men or people from outside their race?
Yes, it do. Yes, it does. I mean, that's across the board with any race, but at the same time,
should it matter that much?
No, I understand you say, quote unquote, love is blind, love has no color, but we live in a society that sees everything. Let's keep it real. We live in a society that sees everything, but at the end of the day, when we sit up there and I'm watching this on TV, I'm like, dang. You know what I'm saying? I'm always looking at something that does not represent what I am and what I see and what I want to see. This is not representation.
Right.
This is not a representation of what I want to see.
But still,
this black men
have
a problem.
Still,
now more than ever, I see a lot of, you know, black women who date outside of the race. That is
as
happening.
As I said earlier, subliminally, I feel like they're pushing that.
And look, I'm looking at
what
the,
would
look,
be the game,
I'm
Kevin, for pushing that?
Get these babies, get these beautiful babies from y'all.
Yeah, I want my son to look a certain way and have this type of hair. Anyway,
I ain't gonna say that.
still, the fact remains on this particular show. A black woman is cheating. Well, yeah, is cheating with a married man. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole situation. And even with the whole situation, I don't know who Jungle Fever. A white woman was cheating with a black man who was married. I mean, it's wrong all the way around.
But the show is going to, let's be honest, let's be realistic. This is what our society is thirsting for. This is what our women are thirsting for. Why is it that black women are so defensive about this show? You can talk to any black woman right now about this scandal show, they'll tear your head off for saying something bad. I'm surprised we ain't had that many call in today, and I do apologize. I know we were supposed to do this show last week, but I am so shocked that we haven't had many more of you black women call in saying, oh, y'all wrong for talking about Olivia Pope. Oh, that's it. I don't want to hear that. But I know y'all would have done that if y'all knew what was going on tonight. Y'all know y'all defensive about this show. Why?
We're going to do another show about this whole particular spectrum of what we discussed today. Because I know we're about to run out of time. But still, though, we're going to do another show about this because we definitely want to have the voice of people. Well, as far as our lovely black women to express their perception besides Jen on this particular matter.
And what we're going to do next time is that we're going to do, you know, maybe a show. I have a couple of friends that do. I have a friend that is married to a white guy, and I have, you know, some friends that
do. They can be married to
white
a white guy. I don't care about that. I'm talking about what they showing on TV.
Right.
Well,
it's about
it is an issue. It is an issue because.
It's because
a lot of people said that is being promoted, that now we want more, you're saying that interracial dating is being promoted on television.
It is. Since the quote-unquote black men have been the sex symbol of the world. Yes, I said the world. You know what I'm saying? Now, they want to get the black women out there to feel like, yeah, we can get it in, too, with everybody else. But the point is, if I hear one more black woman say it ain't no good black men out there, please go play in traffic right now.
I'll spray you with some ketchup.
Play
that's what
in traffic. Because there's a lot of black brothers out there that you won't give a chance because he don't meet the whole criteria, the list. You know what I'm saying? He's not this, he's not that, he's not professional, just like I said earlier about this show with the most quote-unquote powerful man in the world. But you got a regular guy out here that can give you love over this. And like one woman said, I can't remember where I heard this, but she said a relationship is like a business venture. Like, is that where our women at right now? That's where black women at right now? Really? Man. I got to make somebody mad. Hold up. We got a caller right here. Caller, you are live with the middleman. What's on your mind?
Oh, hello.
Hey, you live with the what's on your mind?
Hey, Nick, look. Is Jennifer Gordon on the phone?
Say again.
Yes, she is.
Jennifer Gordon. This is hey, Jennifer, this is your cousin. I was just calling in. And I did I go ahead to make me get on the line?
Yes, you did. You pressed number one.
Look, I wasn't trying to get online. I'm just listening. It sounds good, though. I'm just listening. So y'all can take me off.
All right. Okay. I thought I made somebody mad. I'm about to be happy.
Well, you know you always make people mad because we'll hear about it. We'll get emails about it,
it's
you know, afterwards, and we have to sort through.
Address it. I hate Kevin.
Yeah. Make sure you guys add yourself to the Middleman Talk Show page on Facebook. Make sure you guys vote for us on the Southern Entertainment Awards website. The website address is www.southernentawards.com. And sign up and vote for us as Slept On Personality of the Year for radio. We are going up against some major radio stations and a major some major radio personalities. Go vote for us, man, so we can win this award. We can bring this back to all our listeners out there. Like I said, on this past Thursday, like I said, we have surpassed the 63,000 listener mark. We want to get up to 70,000 listens by December. Help us out. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Download it. Available on iTunes.
Yes. Yes.
Soon to be Google Play also.
Most definitely. So, but we had a great show today, great conversation, great opinions. Appreciate everyone who called in and expressed their opinions about the show. Everybody who's on the chat board, if you listen to us on the chat board, go to the website, sign up so you can actually create your profile so you can make comments in the chat. If you're just listed as a guest, you won't be able to make comments, but we'll see you guys there. Some of our guests, we'll have a long list of guests on there, but a few of our guests do have comment, well, per profile where they can make comments. So you'll be able to join the conversation by creating your profile. Also, if you have any suggestions or any extra comments you would like to make, send us an email at wearethemiddleman@gmail.com. But like I said, go to our Facebook page, and we'll definitely converse with you on our Facebook page.
Most definite. So make sure you tune in this Tuesday for Tuesday Morning Takeover. We will be having that going this Tuesday. That's At Work Network, or either if you're just at home in the morning chilling, you just want to hear some good, good clean R&B, good energetic songs, good laid-back songs, good, you know, energy vibe songs. We got those playing from 10 a.m. Eastern to 12, and that'll be 9 to 11 on your Central. So if you're out there, you want to hear that, log in on Tuesday morning.
And it's independent R&B, too, now. Independent R&B.
You ain't got to hear the same old crap you hear on the radio all the time, so make sure you tune in for that right there. And this upcoming Thursday on the Talk of the Town, if you're in the entertainment realm, you got anybody out there trying to get in the business, make sure they tune in because you never know what we may be talking about. You never know who we may have on the line. So make sure
most
you
definitely
tune in to that. It's going down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
what's up, man?
It's a great show. Y'all tune in on Thursday, the scandal.
I was looking for the gladiators. That's who I wanted to talk to tonight, the gladiators. That's the people that I wanted to talk to tonight. But they probably out there looking at some doggone scandal reruns right now.
I wanted somebody to call in and hurt my feelings. That's all I wanted. I would have been fine. It's been a long time
since
somebody hurt my feelings.
You know, I told y'all about being scared. People listen to the show, and then, like, they hang up because... Especially Kevin. Kevin, you can be a little scary sometimes.
No, man, I ain't listening. I'm not watching that mess. It's the same sad song.
All around the world is sad.
Definitely. Well, man, let's go ahead and shut this thing down right here. Shout out to Nick Eaton out there in Houston with that, what he had on? Another one of those Saints hat? Like, really, son? Yeah, you can't tell them nothing now. They are so happy over there. When they lose the playoffs,
right,
don't say nothing.
Right.
Most definitely.
Right.
What's going down? Make sure you tune in with us next Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Download this show as many times as you can.
Yes, sir.
We need it. Once again,
70,000.
70,000. We are out.
All right. See y'all next time.
The middleman shouted, Big Crit shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to, but pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out, take a minute. Shout in and learn some, put your mind to grind the world, you destined to earn some. Linda, you comment on what you hear. Let's figure out this master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate, don't guess you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand, stop complaining about what you ain't got, hating on the next man cause he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday tune in, go live 6 p.m. blogtalkradio.com. The middle me, hey, what's happening? The middle me, hey, what's happening? The middle me, hey, what's happening? blogtalkradio.com. The middle me.
Hey, y'all know, if y'all look at that picture with Nick out there in Houston, he had on an extra medium shirt. I had to say it, man, because y'all be killing me when I am.
Oh,
it was a
little leave nice, the gladiator alone.
Yeah, that's
so I try
cool
to keep my comments to myself, man, because I be getting in trouble, man.
That shirt was a little
y'all,
young.
Y'all can be some haters sometimes.
That shirt was a little young. Real talk.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
Yeah. Y'all make sure y'all tune in for Nick jump on when he come back. Y'all probably listen to craziness going there.
See y'all next week.
All right.